Bucky's Basement.
Welcome to this week's episode of Bucky's Basement. I'm Bucky, and as always, in the basement with me today, I have Old Boy.
Is this poetry?
And Juicebox.
Hi.
We are back with another episode of Casting Cage. This has been a long and wonderful journey so far, and we are rolling straight into 1991. I was 9 years old. And I didn't know it, but movies were starting apparently to go straight to videotape.
No kidding, man. When I read that about this movie, I was like, are you serious? Because that's seriously like direct to videotape. That's even worse. Now things go direct to streaming and it's like, you know.
Yeah.
But that's like way worse.
I feel like Streaming's made it better. Back in the day when you went direct to videotape, it was just like, who could compete to see who had the best cover at Blockbuster whatever? Because you're going to rent that movie based on the cover because you've never heard of it.
Do you guys think Nick Cage was like on probation?
I don't know. Because he's coming off, I mean, a string of, you know.
Some flops.
I was going to say popularity.
Popularity, or like which ones?
Let's say.
I thought you said Wild at Heart was a flop. Did I misremember that?
I mean, monetarily wise, it was.
It's become a cult classic
Time to Kill, the real classic.
The Italian thriller.
Yeah, straight to Italian video.
Moonstruck, huge, nominated for an Academy Award.
Before Time to Kill, what was it? Vampire's Kiss.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, you're thinking, I mean, that's three in a row pretty bad. So you think he's like, all right. You're on probation. You're going to do some straight to video
until you dig yourself out of this.
Yeah,
because who knew in 4 years from 1991, Nick Cage would win an Academy Award for Best Actor?
I think Francis Ford Coppola knew.
Did he?
That's so, why I put him in.
God, if you guys hadn't picked up on it by now, and you probably haven't, this week we are reviewing the 1991 straight-to-video smash hit starring Nicolas Cage and Judge Reinhold and some new up-and-coming actress.
Erica Anderson.
And Erica Anderson in the film Xanda Lee.
And man, I got to say real quick on Erica Anderson, I've always had a thing for Erica Anderson.
What else has she been in?
I don't know.
Yeah. So you've had a thing for Erica Anderson since you watched Xanda Lee.
Since last night.
Exactly.
Forever and always.
So, yeah. I mean, obviously, in this movie, like 3.5 minutes in, there's full-on bush and boobs.
Yep.
Yeah. Like, it starts off like that. It starts off with some New Orleans and some boobs.
Yeah.
I do have a suggestion for you guys
like
out
both
there.
Those things.
And we all know you do.
All three.
I was going to say, I have a suggestion out there. If you want to get around, like, you know, getting caught watching porn by your wife or your significant other, just focus on like 1989 to 1991 Nick Cage movies, because that is pretty much it's the gauntlet we've been going through.
How I missed these as a kid, I have no idea.
This one especially, man.
It's like catching La Femme Nikita after Monday Night Raw in USA in like 91.
What is it? Red something Diaries? What was it?
Red Shoe Diaries.
Yeah.
Yep. Stuff like that.
Yep.
Because my movie marriage is going to be incredible and solely based. Do you think you got it?
No.
I bet we all have something similar, honestly.
Yeah. But I've got a callback to one of the, I don't know, most memorable females of the late 80s and early 90s in like D films. But let's get into Xanda Lee, because that's why we're here today.
Tracy Lords?
Close. You can find Xanda Lee if you're really looking for it. I think it was on Amazon Prime for $3.99.
Yeah. I watched it on YouTube because I broke up with Amazon.
You did break up with Amazon. So, all right. So you can watch it on YouTube as well. And it's worth a watch, I guess. That's why we do this exercise.
If you're at home and your wife's
You're already giving out your rating?
If you, no, I was going to say, if you like 60 sex scenes compiled into one movie. You'll love it. Speaking of that, what we do before we get into the movie Xander Lee, the actors and everything, is a little segment that we like to call
Plot by Juice Box.
Okay, first off, how do you pronounce Judge Reinhold's name?
Tyree?
Yeah. Okay.
Like, I'm Tyree here.
I'm not going to lie. I didn't get his name the whole movie.
I didn't tell what it was either, man.
It was Tyree. And I was getting real Tyree of it.
Yeah. Okay. Xander Lee. Tyree's wife. Tyree.
Funny, I'm stupid.
Tyree's wife, Xander Lee, married the poet he once was. Taking over his dad's company in New Orleans gives him stress and impotence. Tyree meets his high school buddy, Johnny, at a bachelor party. The painter Johnny can satisfy Xander Lee.
I don't even know if that one
may be written by like
AI. I love the impotence throwback.
I made an impotence note, man. Okay. I made some parallel.
We've gotten the regular plot. Now we want to hear the plot by Juicebox.
Xander Lee, a mediocre painter, has an affair with his friend's wife.
I mean, that's what it is.
In New Orleans.
Yeah, there you go.
I mean, it really kind of is like a Red Shoe Diaries episode, and yep. That's it.
I couldn't believe it. I had no idea what this was, because if you go on YouTube and type in the Xander Lee trailer,
yeah,
it's 54 seconds long, and it has nothing to do like with the movie. There are some other
like a misdirection.
Yeah, there's some other clips you can watch on YouTube, which kind of emphasize all of the sex in this movie.
So this movie really felt like it was like Judge Reinhold was one of the producers of it. I feel like it was probably just some kind of like passion project of them. They were like some artsy movie that they wanted to make. So they like financed it themselves and put themselves right. in it, or he put himself in it or whatever.
Am I the only one that thinks that Judge Reinhold should only have been in the Beverly Hills Cop movies?
Yeah, like, and Fast Times maybe?
Yes, Fast Times. I'll give him that. But like that is his character. And in this movie, he's so fucking serious and like so reserved and so angry. And I'm just like, this is not the Judge Reinhold I know as an actor.
Right. Yeah. I mean, as an actor or any artist, I guess you want to show range, right? So maybe this is his way to like, maybe he couldn't get roles like that. And so he's like, I really want to play like a Southern gentleman or something.
And it fell flat. Everything from the accent to the acting was Judge Reinhold. It's just like, I'm watching this and I'm like, I know you, but that mustache, man, and that accent. And
yeah.
His
accent was coming and going, man. It was not working for me. It
sounds like every other Nick Cage movie we've reviewed where Nick Cage tries an accent.
Except for in this movie, they were like supposedly both raised in Baton Rouge. He kind of had an accent. Nick Cage, no accent.
Just I'm regular not voice. It. Yeah.
I'm not even going to try this one. I've tried a bunch of outlandish accents before, but not.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, I think in Xander Lee, Nick Cage is like channeling. I think this is the first time you really see like Con Air Nick Cage.
Is that just the haircut?
It's just the haircut, man.
I think it's some of the voice towards the middle to end part of this movie. It was like,
I think it took him another 20 years or 10 years to develop an accent, but it's just the haircut, dude.
I don't know.
Yeah. I can't even tell what that is. Is it a wig? Like, it's a wig, right? Because it looks so messed up in the back.
It's like when the wind blows, it doesn't move.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Nick Cage also rocks a goatee in this movie, which is like a very pencil thin goatee.
Yeah. Very 90s.
Weird. Yeah, it's weird.
It really is. So let's go ahead and get kicked off into Xander Lee. For those of you who have watched it, for those of you who haven't, feel free to pause the podcast, go get it on YouTube or Amazon, and then get back with us about this point in the show. And if you are with us and listening to us today, as always, we're on YouTube. So, and these episodes drop a day early. You can literally watch these shows. It's a lot of fun. You can see facial expressions. You can see me and Old Boy just getting real pissed at each other certain times and just giving each other looks. But right from the opening of Xander Lee, this I put down this Nick Cage hair flip intro. Like the first time you see him in this movie is incredible.
Yeah, Johnny Collins' introduction is incredible.
Yeah, which I thought was going to kick off an awesome film, you know, from front to back, and
I mean,
man, if it didn't have nudity in it, this would be the worst movie I've ever seen.
Dude, it was some, yeah, it was the nudity, and it was that it was set in New Orleans. That was the other thing that was like,
yeah.
Seeing some of those landmarks are cool. Seeing some of that stuff is cool.
We've been around all those places that they shot this. Like,
yeah, right off the bat, like, all right, so it sets the stage for New Orleans, and then Judge Reinhold and his wife, Zandalee, the title character, are naked, I guess, or he's getting ready for work or something, and she's naked. She's a free spirit, I think it's from the show. So I was like, okay. And then later he goes to a bachelor party, and that's when Nick Cage shows up, and there's nudity there, and I was like, damn, what is happening here?
Right off the bat.
Yep. Dude, and that bachelor party was like no holds barred. Like, anything goes there.
Yeah.
There was a bachelor party that happened at my house once, and I thought that was no holds barred until I saw Zandalee.
Until you saw Zandalee.
When Nick Cage came in with that hair flip, my immediate thought was, did he age like 10 years with this look? Like with the hair and the goatee? And like we recently saw him in a couple of movies where he's pretty young looking.
I wonder how many takes they did to get the hair flip right till he was satisfied with the hair flip.
Oh my God,
because you know that wasn't the first take. He was probably, I bet he hair flipped 20 times.
Yep.
So
I mean, I bet he wasn't even supposed to come in like that. That's totally a Nick Cage thing.
Cut. You know what I'm saying? It's cut. Like, did that motherfucker do a hair flip?
Yeah.
Hey, let's run that back.
So he keeps doing it. He won't stop doing it.
Yeah.
It has to be in. So
and we immediately find what this movie is gonna kind of be about, right? I mean, they don't wait too long to clue you in on, I guess, the arc of what this is.
Yeah. I should point out real quick, Zandalee goes for a jog, and like kind of intermittent with the bachelor party. As she's jogging, she like runs in front of a train, and I think that's to show she's kind of not reckless, but she's in search of something. She, you know.
So every single time she's running, she's like running in front of cars. She's like running in front of, like you said, she ran in front of the train. She's always running like super dangerous.
Yeah,
like,
so you exactly. think she wants out?
No, like she's craving some excitement.
Trust me. Yeah, I'm kind
of
with
you. You don't think it's more of like the opposite suicide?
Every time,
like,
yeah.
Because we learn that she is not happy in her relationship.
Yeah, we learn that pretty quick. And
I'm kind of with Bucky on this one, man. Not to interrupt, but I think maybe she does have a bit of a death wish.
Yeah. Yeah, death wish, excitement. She's looking for.
No, I think she's suicidal.
Oh, you think she's suicidal?
That's what I thought too.
Oh,
maybe we watched it. Maybe you were distracted. Because
we can talk about it more a little bit later. Like,
okay, all right. Suicidal.
So anyway, we've told you guys we've got Nick Cage and Judge Reinhold, and I said okay, and this is within 10 minutes of the movie. So this is a story of two art dudes vying over a clothing store worker, basically, right? And then I wrote down
the French Quarter.
Yeah, in the French Quarter, which is common, I guess. Which I wrote down. Johnny, who's played by Nick Cage, is a painter. And he's an art dude, a painter, but he's not a good one.
Yeah.
And I wrote down Judge because I didn't catch his name the entire time. Is a poet, and I also wrote down and not a good one.
I guess he had a published book, but not enough to support.
No,
him.
He never published the book, right?
The book was never published.
I thought he was always supposed to be writing this book, and that was behind some of the frustration.
He published some book because his wife was reading it at some point.
Yeah,
and he's like what bed. Are you doing reading this?
But he's supposed to be working on this new project, right?
No, now he's just like a straight businessman, which I couldn't ever really tell what his job was.
Yeah.
Like something in
communications.
Yeah, something in communications. All I know is he just kept getting promoted somehow. That was like his dilemma.
Yeah. So his dad dies. He a year ago he took over the. So that's where all the problems start in their marriage, right? His dad dies. He takes over the family business, quits writing, becomes impotent, and quits satisfying Zandalee.
That's the premise.
That's what happens.
Yeah,
that's it.
Then we find out.
Boy.
Then we find out, like, very quickly after this bachelor party and everything, you know, that's going on in the relationship between Zandalee and Tyree, is that what his name is?
Yeah.
So
still doesn't sound
it's
right.
It does,
super,
right?
It's a super Tyree name.
So the next scene you see it, I made a point to say, why is Johnny jackhammering in the road? But then you find out that, like,
he works for the communications company. Yeah,
he works for the company that Judge Reinhold or... Damn it, Tyree. How do you say it?
Tyree. Yeah, real tired.
Diary. That's a New Orleans accent.
I need
right?
some deck of gray coffee. I'm getting real tired.
Yeah, speaking of that, if you guys go to deckagraycoffeeco.com and type in the promo code Bucky's Base, you will get, what is it, like 20% off a bag of coffee or something?
Sure.
The shit's delicious. They got Whiskey Way, which is a medium roast ground coffee, and Nebula, which is also a medium roast, but on a different level.
Yeah, don't go to work, Tyree. Get some Deca Gray coffee.
Get it today. All right, so next we're going to talk about the affair because that kicks off, and then that's the rest of the movie. As comfortable, as uncomfortable as it could be. Actually, before we get in the affair and like the main part of this movie, I want to talk about some of the actors that you meet right off the bat, which I thought some of them were really well placed.
Yeah.
Aaron Neville as the bartender in the bar is awesome.
That threw me off at first. I was like, is that Aaron Neville? But then it was like, oh, it's New Orleans. It totally makes sense.
Like, there's that mole. I see him now.
Yeah.
And then Steve Buscemi as the garbage man.
Dude, he was the best. Yeah. He was the best, like, side character that could be in a, that he was the best side character in this movie.
Yeah. What a weird cameo.
Marissa Tomei as Johnny's girlfriend at dinner is over the top and so great.
Yeah.
So they're pumping
Joe
this.
Joe Pantoliano
as the gay dude again.
In the shop. Again.
The gay friend. He's done gay multiple times. I looked this up, man. That dude has done so many different roles. No, in Sopranos. Like,
was he
not
gay in the Sopranos?
No, but he liked to get pegged. but that dude has done so many different type of roles.
Yeah, he's a good character actor, I think.
He really is that good, like, side character actor, and he's always willing to just dive in, right?
Yeah.
I'm sure whatever the director says, it's like, this is who you are, and he's like, I'll be that, you know?
Yeah.
But he's like the dress shop co-worker of Zandali.
Yeah, I've always felt like Joe Pantaleone is always like a, I don't want to say that. It's like a poor man's Willem Dafoe, is what I was thinking.
Huh.
Yeah.
I just looked down and saw a note that said, I wrote that said, this was the worst fucking movie. Speaking of that, let's go ahead and get into it because, all right, we've got you guys have caught up to date with us. We're going to get right into the affair. Johnny, who is Judge Tyree's old friend now.
Yeah, we're just going to call him Judge Reinhold and Nick Cage.
Okay, Judge Reinhold. You don't like Tyree.
Yeah.
Fair enough. All right, so Nick Cage moves into Zandali, into the affair, and I got jealous neglecting Judge Reinhold sucks. This is where we really meet, like...
I mean, this may be the last thing he did to, like, Beverly Hills Cop 3. I don't know.
No, he was in all the Beverly Hills Cop, right?
How many were there?
Three. I think they're coming out with a new one I saw recently. It's coming out in 2024.
But it's, I mean, he dropped off for real, and that maybe this was it. Maybe this was like, man, okay.
You went serious, and we don't want that.
We don't want that. Yeah. So you're right. They hook up. Like, she's taking a jog, right? And he pulls her over. I wrote down, did they just bang at Patty O'Brien's?
I mean, that's what it seemed like. It's like man, that little garden entrance.
It's raided outside. He kind of like, he just straight kisses her in the house, in his buddy's house one day. Just lays it on her, just makes a pass and lands it.
Yeah.
And then she's running in the rain and he pops out of an alleyway or something. And then like they bang at Patty O'Brien's just in the middle of the day.
It's every other scene is just them fucking.
It's
like there's a reason that they're together.
Exaggeration.
Yeah. It's a reason they're together. Judge Reinhold has something to do with it. Or, you know, she's either escaping or they're, you know, all meeting together and then they find some kind of closet and go fuck. Or a bedroom or a hotel or an alleyway or Patty O'Brien's.
Yeah. Like, it's further signs of her recklessness, right? Like,
She's at this point not caring anymore. She doesn't care if she gets caught.
Yeah,
this might be forward like too much in this movie, but that church sex scene.
We'll get to that. So, but we also learned that Nick Cage is a drug dealer, right? Aaron Neville like passes him some drugs, and like he's doing drugs, he's selling drugs, he's drinking a lot. So he's a painter by trade, but he's just a layman, right?
Yeah,
like no pun intended.
Yeah, because he's not a good painter.
No.
But it's, I mean, good, but it's a good layman, right?
Yes.
Yeah. He's delayed it.
God. That's so... You were coming with the worst jokes today on this podcast.
And then Judge Reinhold invites Nick Cage over and his girlfriend over to dinner. And to celebrate his grandmother's, like... dating life or something. So
yeah, that was so bizarre. That wasn't his grandmother though. That was his mom, right?
No, I think it was his grandmother.
What?
I know. It's weird. The whole thing's weird. But her grandmother gets a boy, or his grandmother gets a boyfriend. So they're gonna have dinner. Nick Cage shows up. He's been banging homeboy's wife. He brings Marissa Tomei, which I'm kind of like, eh. And so
I love that scene. I love her in that scene. I just love how they're like the over the top couple at dinner.
Yeah.
And everybody else just trying to be so serious.
So they go to the kitchen to clean up, Nick Cage and Xander Lee. And I'm sorry, man. She straight blows him in the kitchen while everybody's in the fucking next room, man.
Yeah.
I'm like, wow, this is kind of wild.
Nick Cage is a boss.
And then they go bang in the laundry room. And so Judge Reinhold's kind of like, it kind of looks like he's like, man, he knows. Is something going on? Yeah, why don't he fucking go in there?
Yeah, because he's impotent.
I couldn't tell. Oh, yeah, that's a good point. That does come out later on.
Yeah, but what's that got to do with it?
Might be a cuck.
He says something about the fact that he's pleasing his wife, and he was like,
right, yeah, you're right. Later on,
yeah. I can't remember what the exact line was, but yeah, that's a good point.
Maybe that leaves him a little happy. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, blowjob in the kitchen, fucking in the laundry room. It's wild. And then later back at his apartment, Nick Cage's apartment, Xander Lee during sex says, Tyree. And I think she's getting tired of sex.
But that part was weird anyway, because he was like, say my name, and she said Tyree.
Right, yeah. She said Tyree's name. So it causes a little tiff, right? So now there's a chink in the relationship of Nick Cage and Xander Lee. So it just seems like it's all lust, right? It's not real love. It's just fucking. Fucking
Xander Lee is pulling the strings. Maybe she's the boss.
Yeah,
but then let's fast forward. Sex scene.
I mean, I don't. That's all the notes.
Back and forth. No, until there's some highs and lows towards the middle to end of this. Right?
Is Nick Cage charming though?
Not in this movie.
Not in this movie at all.
No, but he's...
Is he attractive? No. Maybe by 91 standards?
He has confidence.
He has those weird glasses.
You know what he looks like? Do you guys remember Pee Wee Herman's character in Buffy the Vampire Slayer?
Yes, that is it. He looks just like that. Oh my God.
That is true, but he has confidence, and some women are really into that. Like, he takes no for an answer, and he's very dominant, and at least with her in these sex scenes.
I mean, he comes across as edgy, I guess, like the edgy painter or something. Yeah. You know, and that's what that chick is looking for. That's what Xander Lee is looking for, is like an artistic person. You know, that's who she fell in love with.
Right. It's funny about you, Buffy the Vampire. I put halfway through, I started hoping Nick Cage was a vampire, and he was not.
Did not reprise his role.
But there's a plot twist at the end.
There is a little bit of one. So let's go on and let's kind of fast forward to this. Back to what I was saying. I love the sex in this movie. I love like all the scenes in it, the creative stuff, like the sneaking off into the kitchen. The church sex scene, I said, is a little intense and a little much for me. Like, this is where it gets a little uncomfortable.
Well, right. And I think this is the dissolution of their relationship, right?
Yeah. Yeah. But, I mean, like, they're banging in a church, and, like, it is not... borderline...
And it's not consensual, right?
Yeah, let's go four movies in a row, Nick. Thanks again.
Right.
I mean...
That's a good point. It doesn't seem consensual.
So after this like intense church sex scene, you're right. The Xander Lee thing, Nick Cage kind of,
and it's in a like confessional when they they have sex in a confessional. Yeah.
She starts to either feel more remorse or like awakening or something like that. So she tries to reconcile the relationship on what I call the reconcile relationship vacation with Judge Reinhold.
Yep. They go to a beach house, right?
They do. And guess who shows up at this beach house?
Nick Cage.
Nick Cage.
Dude, and then, he was at the bar that the, or the shop. Gas station. Yeah. Whatever that place was. He was just hanging out there.
Yeah, just hanging out. They run into him. Judge Reinhold brings him outside. He's like, look who I found. And Sandy Lily's like, motherfucker. Mm-hmm. And then Judge Reinhold and Nick Cage do some weird like dual waltz. And I'm like, is one of them trying to be the man in this thing? And like, I was like, what is?
Let's stop right there and explore this, because this is probably the strangest part of this entire movie.
It is weird
because I wrote down weird boat dock dance.
yeah,
and they start to do like tight kind of a waltz where they both put their hand up to the side and they put their other hand behind their back, and then they do this two-step or four-step, and it's just like, what? Like, this right. isn't even good dancing. This is like ballroom dancing.
Yeah.
And then when it's over, Judge Reinhold walks off to the side, and he goes, does anybody want a beer? And Zandali was like, I could use one. And he was like, well, why don't you come over here and get it then? And I was like, oh, my God, dude. Get rid of fucking Judge Reinhold. Like,
they're about to.
Yeah. They're about to.
And then Judge Reinhold pulls a gun out. Pulls a pistol. He's all like, I was like, if you're pissed, shoot somebody, man.
Dude, I don't know about you guys, but I've like, for some reason, I knew this movie was going to end with like somebody getting shot.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure exactly how. Yeah. It just felt like that was like the climax of this movie. Just
going that direction.
A good Big Easy New Orleans, you know, type movie. So next, you're right. He pulls out the gun. Next, we see a scuffle, right? And then we get drowning, neck biting. He's
like, come on, let's go for a boat ride. And I'm like, oh shit, somebody's going to get fed to a gator. And that didn't happen.
Yeah.
No. Oh, kind of. Because, yeah, you're right. They go on a boat ride, and Judge Reinhold's kind of driving the boat a little recklessly, but not too recklessly, because it's kind of like, you'll be okay. Mm-hmm. Unless there's gators. And then I guess Nick Cage is kind of like, well, man, you're kind of out of it. Let me drive. And then immediately, like, turns it real quick. Judge Reinhold goes off the bat. Like,
flies off the boat.
Did he do that on purpose?
He definitely did that on purpose.
And he falls off, and then I'm assuming at this point that Reinhold is being death rolled by gators, right? Because I'm like, well, that's it. You don't see him. He kind of like sinks down like a little bitch. He's like, but he should know how to swim, right? Like, fucking,
no, yeah.
It looks like he's in 2 foot of water.
Yeah. What did she say? He was caught in the. She like jumped in and was like, he's caught in the current or caught in the something. It was like, I guess sucking him down. I don't know.
Quicksand or like some kind of bullshit.
Let's just mention also, the whole entire time Judge Reinhold is wearing a white suit.
A white suit, yep. And
to go on a boat.
He has one fall out of a boat. Doesn't even look like painful. It looked like he just rolled out of a boat, and they're swimming around trying to find him. And then, surprise, Judge Reinhold pops out the water. Fucking bites.
Neck biting is so awesome.
Judge Reinhold was the vampire the whole time, and then he fucking just slinks off, and then he just like slips
and
he's off.
Just dead.
And then he slips into the water, and I'm like,
"Do you remember
how scared would you be? Some motherfucker pops out the water, bites you, and then goes back in the water, and you're like,
The end of Judge Dredd, the Broken Lizard movie, when they've got they found the killer and he's like tied up to the boat dock.
Club Dredd.
I was like
Stallone.
That's way wrong. Club Dredd. And they cut his like torso off, but he still keeps coming back in the water.
Oh yeah.
I was like, did they get inspiration from this? Because this scene is just over the top. I mean, it feels like they do a lot of infidelity, like fun noir type stuff. And then right at the end, they just throw the kitchen sink at you.
It's like, man, we got to wrap this fucking thing up. And then immediately after that, Zandali's at the gravesite, right? So I'm like, okay, I guess they found his body, but then it's also New Orleans. So I'm like, I don't know, man. And who shows up? Buscemi.
Yeah.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And he shows up and asks for money from. He's like, hey, you got a couple of bucks? And she's like, no, but here's some chicken biscuits. He's like, oh, no, I'm good. And gives her some wisdom, and that's it. slowly after that, Zandalee's like losing. You can tell she has some remorse. She's losing her sanity a little bit. Nick Cage goes back to wearing glasses and trying to get alcohol poisoning, and then runs in. Did you see Raj from Raj is the kid from Gremlins? The Who? Other art dealer or the oh, other artist?
That was from, he was from Gremlins.
Isn't that the guy from Gremlins?
I don't know.
And anybody's is Judge Reinhold in Gremlins?
No.
He, but ooh, Phoebe he's Cates in he's in Gremlins too.
Is he?
Yes, he is. He's a coworker, I think, in Gremlins too. I could be wrong, but I think I'm pretty sure Judge Reinhold's in Gremlins too. You keep talking, I'll look it up.
All right, cool. Anyway,
so yeah, he but like he meets up with that guy to try to sell some of his art or get a, like an art show or something, and the guy was like, "Your art sucks," basically.
Like, yeah, and then Nick Cage is like, "Fuck you, man!" And the guy's like, "Yeah, we'll see you around." He's like, "Man, you want some coffee?" He's like, "No, I'm good." and then you know they're still dealing with Judge Reinhold's death, and then Zandalee goes for a run. Nick Cage has a psychotic break, paints himself like black or something.
Dude, the meltdown paint scene.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, again, they're throwing the kitchen sink at you at the end of this movie. It's like
breakdown.
Why didn't you give me this the whole time? If you guys out there, if you're not into nudity and like, you know, just a fair type stuff.
Yeah.
Like, just fast forward to the last 10 minutes of the movie.
Well.
Yeah, that's when the truly unhinged shit starts happening. Yeah. So. Do you think that was Nick Cage, the totally smearing himself with all the paint and everything? Like, do you think that's what the scene called for, or he just went over the top? Because, man.
The black paint thing is great.
I think that was definitely him. I think those glasses he wore occasionally were definitely him. And yeah. I also think that card trick was him.
Huh.
That card trick had nothing to do with anything.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
All right, so at this point, they're kind of separated, right, dealing with the death. Then Nick Cage, I guess, sneaks into Zandalee's house, and they go back at it, but it ain't the same. I think she says Tyree's name again. It's really dragging at this point. We get it. You have guilt, and ultimately, it wasn't worth it, right? That's the message, I suppose.
It's never worth it.
It's never worth it. And
that's what Steve Buscemi says, right? His words of wisdom. Hold on, I wrote them down.
Yeah, you're right. He does. The words of wisdom.
Nothing's as good as they say it is.
Yep. And then so they're kind of together, but then she has some type of psychotic break and like puts on Judge Reinhold's shirt and goes for a walk out to Jackson Square. And the drug dealer, who barely makes an appearance in the whole movie, shows up, points a gun at Nick Cage and says, "Got to make accounts payable, man," and shoots Zandalee. What a dick.
Mm-hmm.
And
so,
yeah,
this goes into part of my theory that she was suicidal, because she almost like jumps towards like the shooter.
I think she wants to die at this point. But Nick, I think you should watch the scene again. Nick Cage is clearly in front of her. I think the guy's a bad shot.
Hmm.
That's what I think.
Well, I don't know. They show her move like move towards the.
Towards the
shooter is what it kind of looks like.
I got you.
And then she gets shot.
I got you. I could see her being suicidal at this point. And, well, so, all right. So, she dies about a block away from that place you get donuts. Cafe Du Monde.
I think they're beignets.
Beignets. Yeah. Cafe. What?
It's yeah, not it's a, there anymore, but yeah.
it's not there anymore? Oh, shit. And then about four to five blocks away from that is the dungeon.
Yeah, yes, which opens at midnight every night.
And scene.
And they play the loudest heavy metal I've ever been into, heard in a bar. But it's Old Boy's favorite bar, and we always have to stay alert somewhat
we
until
have to go
midnight
to the dungeon. Shout
and
out
get
to
into
the dungeon.
Dungeon. That's it. That's Zandalee in a nutshell. It's, you know, you've heard us talk about it. You want to see it? Go see it. Or pull it up and look it up.
Us talking about the dungeon makes me want to go to New Orleans.
If you like
this movie, maybe wanting to go to New Orleans.
Yeah,
yeah. If you like the shows Silk Stockings and La Femme Nikita in the 90s, you're gonna love Zandalee.
That's what I was looking for. Silk Stockings.
That's it. All right, so what we want to do now that before we get this thing rated, we have a couple of segments that we like to do. One is movie marriage. It's where we take, you know, two movies and we make them get together like Nick Cage and Zandali.
Yep.
And, you know, pop out a baby, and that's what turns into Zandali.
Yeah.
I'll let old boy go first this week. What movies do you got for the movie Zandali?
Okay. Mine are pretty generic. I got Basic Instinct and Unfaithful.
All right. I like that. Dude, Diane Lane and Unfaithful.
I knew you were going to bring it up.
Oh, my God.
I knew you were going to bring it up.
That's it. A lot of people bring up, who is it, the mom in National Lampoon's?
Beverly D'Angelo?
A lot of people bring that up. Dude, to me, Diane Lane and Unfaithful.
Diane Lane's flawless.
Dude, she's not flawless, but...
She's flawless.
Shoo.
Pretty damn hot. I also have Unfaithful, and then I have Cinemax Porn as my second thing.
That's perfect. Damn, yes. I mean, that's it.
That's what I said at the beginning of this podcast. I mean, if you want to get away with porn, just rent Zandali on Amazon for $3.99. Like you two, I had the movie Unfaithful, and I also had any Shannon Tweed movie ever
Shannon
made.
Shannon Tweed, damn.
That was it. That was it. My throwback.
Damn, that's good.
Because I used to stay up late and try to watch Shannon Tweed movies in like the late 80s and early 90s. That's probably the first... like MILF type thing I ever fell in love with in my life. Shout out to Gene Simmons's wife, Shannon Tweed. She's probably like 78 at this point.
Shout out to her.
Yeah, shout out to the Dungeon and Shannon Tweed. Do you guys think Judd Nelson and Judge Reinhold would have been better at this?
I really wish you would quit bringing up the Judge Nelson or Judd Nelson.
I'm just asking.
I could see Judd Nelson in this movie, honestly.
I think he could have done a good job in this.
He would have looked better than Nick Cage. I think it's still that point before he goes, like, he doesn't look like Judd Nelson anymore. Like bad like boy would, 80s Judd Nelson.
Yeah. If for some reason, I don't know why, but it feels like he would have played a more convincing artist.
And maybe bad boy.
Yeah. I don't know. Nick Cage's artwork was just so bad. Like, he probably painted that shit himself, right?
Could have.
It's like some shit my brother painted in middle school.
Did you see at the very end when the buddy comes over to look at his artwork, and it's Judge Reinhold coming out of the water in the white suit in the swamp water? It was like,
oh, I missed that.
It's like him in the water, you know, and it's like, oh, come on, bro.
What other movies of Judd Nelson's have you guys seen besides like The Breakfast Club? Then quit asking the fucking question.
What do you mean? We found out.
We're basing it off one piece of work on an actor, and we've been doing this Nick Cage.
I think it was two movies that Judd Nelson got beat out by Nick Cage, and we're thinking it's because of nepotism.
No, there's a reason.
You should go back and listen to our fucking episode.
Yeah.
All right, so the next segment we'd like to do when we review Nick Cage movies in our series Casting Cage is our tagline. It's where we take a tagline of the movie, on the movie poster or that's selling the movie, and we read it to you, and then we rewrite that because we've now seen this movie, and we know what the exact tagline should be. So we read our own. So without further ado, I think Juicebox is going to surprise us here. What's the tagline of Zandali?
I can't surprise you because I couldn't find a tagline.
I saw a poster. I don't think
there was a tagline.
It was like I had to go through lots of posters to find it. And I think it was like something like she's incredible, but it could have been like that could have been like a critic.
Probably a critic, because when your movie goes straight to video, you might not be able to afford a tagline, you know, to put those extra words on the front cover. So let's go ahead and do Zandali a favor and let's create taglines for this movie. Anybody want to go first?
I'll go first.
All right.
Zandali, if I can't paint, everything turns to shit.
That's perfect. It's great. Yep. I think I got a few. Zandali, go straight up the devil's ass.
Sorry, hold on. Let me do it again.
Zandali, go straight up the devil's ass.
again, we're looking at a movie where Nick Cage, I think, is inserting lines in some of these things.
What was the second part of that, though? It was like, go straight up his ass and look him in the face. It was something that did make sense. It's like, how are you going to see his face from the inside of his ass?
I quit listening. I was laughing.
Xander Lee, when the Big Easy becomes the Big Hard. Oh, God. This is sex references.
Clearly.
So stupid.
Xander Lee, straight to video.
Okay. That's accurate.
It's
Xander Lee at a video store near you.
I don't remember I don't remember seeing this video like sitting out. You know what I mean? Some of those covers and posters were iconic. I do not remember this one.
This one was not,
I do love what you said in the beginning. I think of this episode. Xander Lee, Nick Cage, you're in timeout.
Yeah. Was Erica Anderson in anything beyond this, or is this
I don't know. So I watched that trailer, and I mentioned earlier it was 54 seconds long, and they were like, starring Nick Cage and Judge Reinhold and the all-new up-and-coming actress Erica Andrews or whatever.
Anderson,
and she's riding in like this boat underneath this bridge, and like, you know, it's got her hair flowing in the wind. I've never seen her in a movie after this.
Oh my God, you guys. She was in an episode of Silk Stockings.
Yes.
Oh.
She played into the nudity thing.
I mean, man, you get
typecast.
Or at
least the lingerie.
You get typecast.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah, she doesn't seem to be acting anymore. She doesn't have any creds after 2000.
What season and episode?
All right, so...
I'm not sure. You'll have to do your own research.
Do that yourself.
Before we get into our ratings, I want to do this really really quickly, because I think it'll be more fun than what we just watched and reviewed.
What else came out on video?
I don't have what else came out on a video that week, but I do want to say what was in the movie theater. I do want to say what was in the movie theater that week. Here's what you could have seen if you'd gone to the movie theater. Terminator 2... Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey, Boys in the Hood, Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, Point Break, Naked Gun 2.5, Suburban Commando, Hulk Hogan movie. That's about it.
Insane. That's like our entire childhood.
Yeah,
right?
I couldn't have seen any of those movies.
I saw T2 in theaters when it came out. That's awesome.
Awesome. Oh, it was awesome. All right, so let's rate Xander Lee. We have a 3-tier rating system here on Bucky's Basement when we do these Casting Cage episodes. I am going to go first this week.
Sure.
Because this is the longest soundbite and one of my favorites. So here is what you get from me, Xander Lee.
Fuck!
And that is exactly how I felt after watching this movie. I would have given it my middle rating for all the nudity and stuff, but it was just so overshadowed. I know we've talked really good about this movie on this, but man, I will never watch it again.
No, this movie sucked.
Okay. Are these my three?
Yep.
I'm giving it the middle of the road, because I think I could watch it on mute. Yeah. And I feel like we downed Nick Cage and Judge Reinhold, but it also, I thought the Xander Lee actress did fine.
All right, I'm a little tired, a little wired, and I think I deserve a little appreciation.
I feel like that is him talking.
Yeah, I could, yeah.
Yeah.
Filming this movie.
I just want to hear it again, because fuck this movie, man. It was so hard to get to this movie. And I hear what you guys are saying about the sex, but it's like, if I want to watch this much sex, I'll just watch a porn or
sure.
something.
Like, yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, it'd have to be on TV, and it'll never be on TV. So I will never see this film again.
This is so special for us here in Casting Cage, because this has officially, out of the probably 10 movies that we've reviewed, got the statistically lowest rated of anything that we've done so far.
You're right. I was just trying to really kind of be funny going middle of the road.
Lower than Time to Kill. And that was an Italian foreign film.
Did you go top dog on that?
I think I did. I either went top or middle, but I might have gone top. I really enjoyed Time to Kill. I've really enjoyed everything that we've done until now, And I also look at the next few movies we're going to review.
Yeah, what's next?
And it's not getting any better for a while. And then it gets incredible. But I'm pretty sure the next movie after this one that we review is Honeymoon in Vegas. With James Caan.
I cannot wait.
And who's the chick in, what's that show every girl likes?
Sex and the City.
Yeah.
Sarah Jessica Parker.
Parker and
Nick Cage.
And James Caan and Nick Cage.
James Caan. Yeah, he's running that casino in that show Casino.
See, I remember liking that movie back in the day.
I do too.
I haven't seen it in a while, and maybe that's, you know, I just don't remember it as well as I did. Maybe it'll be good. I don't know.
I remember getting, I think we ordered like a Pizza Hut pizza combo or something, and it came with the DVD. I swear.
So here's some fun things.
I wish Pizza Hut was running that deal right now.
Right? So here's some things you can be excited about when it comes to Casting Cage, because we're going to be continuing this throughout the year. After Honeymoon in Vegas, we've got the comedy Amos and Andrew, and then another straight-to-video film, Red Rock West. We've got Deadfall, Guarding Tess, It Could Happen to You. So we got a string of Nick Cage love movies coming up. Even before we get to Leaving Las Vegas, which is in 1995, we still have Trapped in Paradise, Kiss of Death. I mean...
Yeah, Kiss of Death was something else.
This is going to be a very fun run for us on Casting Cage. As always, where you can find us is buckysbasement.com or follow our socials, you know, at Bucky's Basement, Instagram, Facebook, wherever you find your socials. Listen to us wherever you get your podcasts. Like, rate, subscribe, do whatever. Help us. Tell somebody. And as we always say at the end of the show, thank you for listening, and we will see you next week.
Tell your mom and them.